It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you here from Austin, Texas, at Bible Home Church, where we worship every week the Word of God. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus Christ is called the Word in the Gospel of John chapter 1. We know that Jesus, of course, came in the flesh as God, and thus he was given the title Emmanuel, which the scriptures say means God with us. Jesus, of course, told his disciples and others that the kingdom of God was amongst them. Jesus, then, is the very kingdom of God. Paul said, Christ within you is the hope of glory. And thus, there is no one that we should focus our attention on more than Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing in this series now of messages on the tears of Jesus. What would make our Lord and Savior cry? You know, there's so many people today who say they believe in Jesus, but they simply are liars, con men, charlatans. Even Muslims, black Muslims, many profess a belief in Jesus. But the Jesus of the Quran, the Muslim so-called Bible or text, gives us a picture of a wholly different Jesus. In the Mormon church, the LDS, Jesus is depicted as just one of many gods who earned his divinity. And you can become a god yourself. This is wholly a different Jesus. In the Jehovah's Witness false religion, Jesus is depicted again as just another god, god of this planet. And in fact, really, Jesus is another name, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, for Michael the archangel. So Jesus is simply an archangel, Michael. So we see then a perversion of the truth by all of these groups. Then we get to the Jews today and throughout history, who have despised Jesus, called him every filthy name they could, and yet, amazingly, many, even Christians, are so deceived that they believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. And, of course, God chose Abraham and Moses and Jacob and many others, some of whom were not necessarily Jewish among the old prophets, and many who were. Jeremiah, Elijah. But believe me, these men would never have said the things about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that the Jews of today say. And it is recorded in the Bible, of course, that the Jews of Jesus' own generation when he came in the flesh as God hated and despised him and sought his death. So when people say, are the Jews God's chosen people, I always say, chosen for what? What are you chosen for, my good friend? If the Jews were God's chosen people, then they must have a mission, a destiny. And Israel did indeed have a destiny. Moses had a destiny. Jeremiah, Daniel. And then we read about the destiny. That destiny was to bring forth the scriptures. That destiny was to bring forth a peculiar race of people, a born-again race of people that would be God's own. Men and women whom he would choose because they would themselves obey him, rely on him, serve him as bond slaves and servants. If you refuse to serve Jesus Christ, don't try to say, I am chosen. Because you are chosen, all right. You're chosen for the pit of hell. Listen to me very carefully. Are you a Gentile? If you rejected Christ, unless you repent, you are chosen. You are chosen for the pit of hell. If you choose to continue to reject Christ, even though you say, I don't hate him, I say, yes, you do. Because he has done everything for you, and yet you continue to insist that you need not obey and serve him. And thus, that is a form of hatred which will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will pay the due penalty, 100%. You say, are you saying that only because I'm a Gentile, Tex Mars? I'm saying that because you're a human being who has an obligation and a responsibility to bend your knee and serve God. And at the name of Jesus, it's revealed in the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. You say, but the Jews bow to Jehovah. They bow to their God Yahweh. What does Philippians say? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If a Jew says, I will bow to Yahweh, I will bow to Jehovah, but never to Jesus, I say to them, you will bow on judgment day, and a split second later, you will head straight for the pit of hell. There's only one name in heaven or on earth by which men can be saved. There is no other foundation. If you're a Jew, do not deceive yourself into thinking that you are God's chosen people, because many Jews were chosen by God from the days of Abraham to bring forth the scriptures, and they did because it was God's destiny for them. And they brought forth the Messiah from the lineage, and that was God's destiny for them. Now, are you as a Jew today chosen by God? Are you one of his chosen people? Sanctified, justified, chosen, saved, reserved for that day, that glorious day of his coming? That's the only question. Not what race you are. God is no respecter of persons, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. Do not think because you're a male, you have some kind of a superior spirituality to a woman, and it's going to get you in heaven. Don't deceive yourself. And you women, don't listen to the feminist movement, the National Organization for Women, or the witches who say women are superior. Don't fool yourself. There is no difference with God. Yes, we have different roles. There's no doubt. God has given different nations, different races, different ethnic groups. Yes, even men and women, different roles in society. And some people find themselves as bitter third world economic slaves. Others find themselves living in mansions, driving fancy cars. Even there is no difference with God. You say, will the rich then be blessed more? I say to you, my friend, eternity is a long time. We cannot even fathom it. And if the rich do not turn to Jesus, then they have their short, temporary, fleeting reward right here on earth. And then they will suffer the penalty for rejecting Christ for all eternity. If you find yourself very poor, very sick, poverty-stricken, friendless, alone, no one to turn to but Jesus, and you turn to him today, listen to me, my friend, you're suffering today is but a fleeting moment of eternal history, and you will be rewarded for your persistence and your love of Jesus Christ, and you will live forever in glory and in joy and in happiness, content in the arms of our Lord, in the bosom of Jesus Christ. You remember that, my friends. You out there who don't have a dime, don't have a cent, don't have a friend. I was talking with a gentleman recently. Both of his brothers died. He had no sisters. His mom and dad have gone on. He's all alone.
But he does have someone. He has Jesus Christ. This is the answer, my friend, to your problems today. And Jesus did shed tears for you. Yes, that's right, for you. He knew before you were ever born what direction you would go. He knew what direction the Jews would go, the Gentiles, every nation, every person. There is a destiny. What is your destiny? And that's why we're talking in this series about the tears of Jesus. Jesus cried for specific things. You will be amazed. He suffered more than almost any man has ever suffered in history. He was rejected, alone, hated, despised. He was a man of great love and compassion, yet spit upon, bruised, tortured, hated, reviled, humiliated, shamed. He deserved none of the treatment he got. Yet he did not cry one tear over this horrible, unfair, terrible conduct of others toward him. No, he did not. No, he did not. But he did cry. He did shed tears. I hope you've been listening to this whole series. You will be amazed at why Jesus cried. It could change your life just to know why Jesus cried. Why he shed tears. If you're not touched by this, I say you have a heart of stone. I pray that your heart will melt as you learn and you discover the power that is actually within the tears of Jesus. I'm not talking about some magical, supernatural power that if you were to get some of the tears and put them in a little jar and put them under your pillow at night, you could be instantly transformed or healed. No, I'm not talking about that kind of silly power. I'm talking about just the fact that you accept who Jesus is and why he cried. And you repent of those things that would make Jesus cry. And I'm telling you today, if you do so, if you could understand why Jesus cried, and if you could make a remedy for it just for your life, don't worry about other people at this moment, although it's certainly acceptable and even required for us to be concerned about our loved ones. But at this particular moment, consider yourself. Why did Jesus cry? And make a remedy for it in your life. Resolve, I will never do anything to make Jesus cry over me. If you understand why he cried. Because of lack of faith. Because of lack of belief in him. That's what made Jesus cry. And so, my friends, strengthen your belief. Strengthen your faith. If you have no faith, cry out for some. If you have some, but you need more, cry out for more. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Well, we're going to have a great song before we begin our message. Actually, we've already into our message, I suppose, because I just got carried away there in the Spirit, wanting to impress upon you how vital the tears of Jesus are, the knowledge of what made our Lord cry. But here's a great song. It's an old song. You know, not too long ago, I was at a church and I saw Cecil Stamps, Blackwood, and the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. They've sort of changed versions over the years because, you know, there have been some deaths and such, and they've been around, I mean, in the history of gospel music for a long, long time. But I was saw them at a small Baptist church, Pedernales Baptist Church, up in near the lakes part of central Texas. Wanda and I drove up to see them. I was amazed there was only a small crowd there. I would say no more than 30 people. And I was very disappointed in the crowd, but I was not disappointed in what I heard. And about 2 hours of great gospel music, Wanda and I sit there and just thank the Lord for the wonderful nature of this music by these gentlemen. And it was not long after that, and this was just a few years ago, that I read in a Christian newspaper that Cecil Stamps, the lead singer of the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. You know, James Blackwood, of course, used to be the leader, but this, I think he retired, and then Cecil Stapps took over, and that he had passed away. And so it meant a lot to me to have met the gentleman and be able to shake his hand and to hear this wonderful quartet. This is one of their old songs, and it's always been a favorite of mine. And I don't care who sings it. Whatever, you know, group sings it, there seems to be power and glory in it. He Touched Me by the Blackwood Brothers Quartet with Cecil Stapps singing the lead. And we'll be back right after this song with the conclusion today of, well, perhaps a conclusion. I don't know how long we're going to go. But in any case, we're going to have our talk about the tears of Jesus. Here are the Blackwood Brothers.
And made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout Him while eternity rolls. He touched me.
He touched me.
He touched me.
Now let's get to the second time that Jesus shed tears. Equally important. Equally important. Turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. You can go on. Now listen, on your own, we don't have time today, but read verses 1 through 44 of John. Gospel of John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, and you're going to find some fascinating things. Here we have a situation where Martha and Mary are with Lazarus, and Lazarus is ailing and near death. And they send a message to Jesus, who is outside Jerusalem with his disciples, and they say, "Come quickly, Lord, for Lazarus is near death. He needs you." You see, they knew that Jesus could heal. They had heard and had seen the miracles of Jesus, the people he had healed. They knew he had the power from God to heal. And they said, "Come quickly, Lazarus is sick." Well, I'm just going to tell you in the old American vernacular that we say down here in Texas, what happened? According to, at least to man's perception, Jesus just messed around. His friend was there near death. They said, "Hurry, come quickly." Jesus didn't. He just tarried a few days there. I'm sure his disciples said, "Boy, here is his good friend Lazarus is laying near death. He doesn't seem to be worried about it. He's not He should have jumped up and said, let's go quickly. Maybe I'll get there in time to heal him. He didn't. Then finally, after a few days, he did get up and say, well, let's go. Lazarus is asleep. They said, well, that's good, Lord. If he's sleeping, that's good. You know, a sick man who's sleeping, well, that's sleep is good for you, isn't it? Jesus said, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. Wow. Boy, that was something. Lazarus is dead. No messenger came and told him, but Jesus knew. He died physically. Jesus didn't seem to be in a hurry to get there. In fact, he wasn't ready to go until Lazarus had died. I'm sure that bewildered his disciples. Now, it says there in the Bible, then that as they came down, I guess the road or the path or whatever it was, Martha came out looking for him, and she saw Jesus, and Mary stayed in. Now, that's not Mary, his mother. That's the other Mary. And they were sisters, Martha and Mary, these two. And Mary stayed with the body there of Lazarus mourning. But Martha came out and saw Jesus and came running toward him. You know what the first thing she said was? She said, Lord, if only you had come sooner, Lazarus would not have died. Now, I want you to consider that. If only you had come sooner, Lazarus wouldn't have died. How would you have felt if you were God? You see, God, Jesus Christ, has the power of life and death. And yet, here was a statement. If you had only come sooner, he wouldn't have died. Is that faith? Well, we see what happens here. We read this powerful group of verses. We see what happened. Now, there's an amazing trail of events here. And I want you to see exactly what happened. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saying to him, what did Jesus say? Your brother will rise again. And then Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Sure, she said. She had been taught there will be a resurrection at the last day. You know, the trump will sound and the dead will rise up from the grave, the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus, my friends, was talking about right then. He was going to rise right then. But she had no faith, at least in that. Now, she recognized Jesus as Lord. God, it's made plain here. She recognized him as Lord. She recognized he had power from God of the resurrection. And yet, when Jesus said, your brother will rise again, she said, oh yeah, in the last days. She was really saying, but he's not going to rise now. He's dead. He's already dead. Too late. You're too late, Jesus. You came too late. You should have come before. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, do you believe this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Oh, good. She believed him. Didn't she? She declared he was God. He was the Christ. And if she really believed that, and you were really, really had God right in front of you in the flesh, and your brother was laying dead, and he said, I'm the resurrection of life, would you not have fallen to the ground and said, Lord, I know he'll be resurrected the last day, but I want to see him right now. Would you please resurrect him right now? Now, Jesus may have said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's time for him to go and to be with the Father. You know, my friends, all of us are going to die in the flesh, unless you're going to be here at the rapture, at the catching up. And we're going to be resurrected, those of us who know Christ. Now, when you're near death, and I've had relatives, my father and many others, near death, laying on their deathbed, I cried out to God, Lord, please heal them. I don't want them to pass on. I'll miss them. I love them. I don't want them to go on to be with you now. I want them to stay right here on earth. And you know, the answer to God was, no, it's their time.
I'm going to bring them on home to be with me. Now, friends, sometimes that's hard for us to accept. We know that God can heal. Why didn't he heal? And you know, the answer to that is he's the potter, we're the clay. And when it's time and he does what he wants a loved one to be with him in heaven, he takes them. That's his prerogative. He's the king. We're the servant. But if he wants to, he'll heal. And he has healed many people, even on their deathbed. That's God's prerogative. And I want to tell you something. This may sound strange to you, but I believe God can even raise from the dead. I think he could even do it today. You say, well, if I have a loved one die, can I ask God to raise him from the dead? Yes, you can. Please understand, I'm not saying that God is going to be raising thousands of Christians that have died, raising them from the dead so that they can stay right here on earth in the flesh. I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but you know what? He can do anything he wants to do. Even today, he can raise, like Lazarus, people from the dead. And he hasn't done it much. He obviously, even this is the only known case of Jesus raising somebody from the dead. I think God has set a pattern here.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the tears of Jesus.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.